On the Line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on the 1st of July. Yes, that is correct. It is July 1st, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz. And you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Lots going on around the sports world today with Auburn, with baseball, with some basketball news. We'll talk some Heisman odds as well. We'll give you the full rundown here in just a little bit. But glad that you're with us on this hot, sunny, beautiful day in the Auburn Opelika area. Joining me on the microphone in the studio as he does every single day, my man Christian Griffin. How are you, sir? Happy Tuesday. Happy July.
Happy July 1st. You mentioned beautiful and sunny. I don't know. There was some thunder rumbling, believe it or not.
Was there really? You're
right at the 2 o'clock hour.
No,
I know,
way.
It's something you definitely would not believe. But yes, July is here. You are officially, not quite, but one actual month from college football.
We play college football next month.
That's absolutely crazy to think about, and the fact that you have high school broadcasts before that in most places. It's exciting, it's scary, but man, we're looking forward to it and looking forward to everything we have on tap for you today. We got to tease a lot of it yesterday. We get to talk a lot about it today as Auburn is officially wearing check marks all across campus, all across the social media platforms. Some coaches, some players have taken some pretty cool pictures of some gear that happened to have a new little logo on the top left corner as Auburn is in Nike. We'll talk about some of the fan drops, how that's expected to go down, why Auburn has fallen behind a couple other teams that have made the transition to Nike. Also going to talk a little bit about how this is going to help. You feel like there's no way that it doesn't help the standpoint of recruiting for football, baseball, basketball, everything beyond. How does it help from recruiting? How does it help from, as Clint Richardson said yesterday, our guest that we had on that was able to talk about all of this, just that street cred, just the logo that speaks volumes in the sports world. How is that going to help Auburn in the near future, in the far future, and everything in between? Also, some really, really cool news that we haven't been able to talk about in specifics because there was no specific information released quite yet. But Auburn, going through their brutal non-conference schedule, has their first couple of games on the basketball side of things in the NIL, the Players Era, NIL Invitational in Las Vegas, basically a November round of 32 / Sweet 16 contest that is going to be absolutely fantastic. It really took off last year, and so many teams have made the transition and been invited to Las Vegas. Auburn now has their first two matchups that we're going to talk about here in just a little bit. Also, some of the other top games that will be taking place in that tournament. All of that coming up here in hour number one. And if you would like to be a part of the conversation here during On the Line this afternoon, you can feel free on the phone lines at 334-321-1390. Again, that'll connect you to the studio, connect you to us, and you can be a part of the conversation. You can be on the line. What are your thoughts on Auburn moving to Nike? Any quick hitters as well? The text box is always open at 334-784-1067. Any questions, any thoughts that you would like us to answer, we're more than happy to do so here on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon.
And as we get started with this conversation, seems like there's a lot of excitement, right? There's a lot of energy, or maybe there was, going into the idea that Auburn was no longer going to be wearing Under Armour, that they would now be wearing Nike. The check mark, the swoosh, right, would replace the UA of the Under Armour logo. And there was a ton of excitement when the deal was announced however long ago that Auburn was going to be wearing Nike, making the transition to what is considered the top-rated apparel brand in the world.
Yeah.
In the world. It's the most well-known, most purchased sports apparel brand to ever be created. And just a side note, I read a book years ago.
Congrats.
Or years ago now, okay? It took me a long time. But I did. I read a book about Phil Knight. It was actually a book that he wrote. It was called Shoe Dogs, and it was about the creation of Nike and kind of how he got the idea and how he went through multiple channels, tons of, as many big businesses are, lots of failures before the eventual success, right? And then talked about how they evolved out of shoes, or you know, from shoes, I should say. And of course, you've got the Jordan movie now that came out a while back, which was really good. I mean, I recommend that book to anybody. Again, I think it was called Shoe Dogs, the book from Nike. Really, really cool. It's got a black cover, big orange swoosh on the front of it. So I recommend people read that if you're interested in that sort of thing. But there was a lot of excitement, right, for Auburn moving to Nike, what it would do in terms of changing the apparel that fans get to wear, the look that the coaches are wearing, everything on the field, on the court, in the pool, on the track, right, that the athletes were going to be wearing. And for a long time, we were told July 1 is the day. July 1 is the day. Yes, legally, that's when the contract begins. That's the day that Auburn makes the transition. But we learned, or at least some of us have been hearing and seeing and being told over the last several months, hey, that July 1 date, that's just the legal start date. That's just the day that everything begins. This whole idea of a massive merchandise drop at midnight on June 30 into July 1, that's probably not going to happen. And then you and I kept hearing and being told things on the back end of, yeah, this is not going the way they really plan on this going. It's a little bit behind schedule, and we have learned today that July 25th is the day that Auburn fans will be able to get online, spend their entire paycheck, and buy a brand new wardrobe of blue and orange gear with the swoosh on it rather than the Under Armour logo. Your initial thoughts on what seems to be a pretty big uproar from a lot of Auburn fans today on not being able to purchase new Auburn Nike gear?
I didn't necessarily have an issue with it because, again, it was the legal side of things when things can actually start getting posted. And just because of how much you've heard about Nike and how far, I mean, even with schools, I mean, you have to order these jerseys years in advance for them to be made by all of all of the products to be made. And so it didn't necessarily have any sort of issue until you started seeing a couple of these other teams that were switching over from Adidas to Nike or from Under Armour to Nike. And Rutgers, being one of the more outspoken ones, is saying, hey, come buy this drop right here from 4 to 6, and everything is 10% off. Come get your brand new Rutgers Nike gear and start repping the new check mark that is going to be worn on all of our gear. And that's when it almost got the point of, okay, is this an Auburn thing? Is this a Nike thing? Is this kind of a combined thing of, we'll get there when we get there, and all of a sudden you realize the deadline is right there in front of you and didn't necessarily have either thing calculated on either Auburn's end or on Nike's end. That being said, you feel like things have calmed down a little bit now that that release date of July 25th, which you mentioned, is now working its way into effect. Now that's the true deadline that everybody gets to look forward to.
I think fans would have been okay if Auburn would come out at some point and just said, hey, July 1 is the legal date that this all starts, but it's going to be a little bit before you can buy some things. And there are some photos that you mentioned are on social media. I saw Kenyatta Watson took a picture of all the shirts and things that he gave. I saw Hugh Freeze posted something today.
Yeah, all the roster updates now have their brand new polos.
That. All the different athletic social media accounts all tweeted out the same time that they're taking flight, right, and all the
those
different
videos
gear.
Are sweet.
They are really, really cool. They did a really good job promoting this new era of Auburn athletics. But look, to Auburn's credit, there was never this announcement that July 1 we were making this massive drop, that all of this was becoming available. That's just something the fans kind of cooked up on their own, and us in media were hoping for, and things like, I mean, that's just something we all kind of created. I mean, this was never, hey, July 1, all the Under Armour stuff will be burned outside, and we're going to have brand new Nike stuff in every store, online, everything that's ever possibly been created will be available. That was never announced. And so my initial thought when I first started to hear the rumblings that this was not going to happen on July 1 in terms of us being able to buy stuff was, man, what are we doing, right? What are we doing? We're dealing with the biggest apparel brand in the world.
And you've had since April 9th of 2024.
Right.
When this was confirmed.
You've known about this for over a year. You're telling me you can't get something put together for the fans and for people who want to... People are begging you to spend money and you have nothing for them to buy. That was my first thought was, what do we do? And this is a joke. But then I started to think about it a little bit and it's like, well, I get it, right? Auburn's not the only brand that Nike represents. They have all the other schools that they already provide for, some of the biggest being Ohio State, Alabama, LSU, plus all the high schools that they represent, right? Auburn High School being one of those that I call for. I mean, that's where I've had some serious conversations and kind of learning, okay, there's a lot that goes into this. And a point that I tried to make yesterday was, folks, this isn't just about the polo that a coach wears on the sidelines. This goes all the way down to the socks and cleats that they wear, the knee pads they wear in volleyball, the goggles they wear in swim. I mean, there is a lot that goes into this, and I think Clint Richardson did a really good job telling us about this yesterday, but there's a lot that goes into this change from one big brain, major brand for an athletics program to another. And at the end of the day, the difference between July 1 and July 25th is 25 days. It's a little over 3 weeks. It's less than a month. Are we really that upset about not being able to wear another orange or blue t-shirt for the next couple of weeks? Ain't nobody wearing a quarter zip or sweatshirt or pants right now anyway. You'd be wearing a couple of polos to dinner or a t-shirt outside on a jog. It's okay. It's going to be okay. I understand the frustration. But I think what I have settled on is the idea that we kind of created this whole massive drop thing out of hope, and that was probably realistically never going to happen.
You feel like that's the Auburn social media at its best, right? Is blowing things out of proportion, creating these narratives of this is what's going to happen, this is what should happen, this is what we need to happen. I mean, people took that picture of the team shop with the mannequins that were completely stripped of all the Under Armour gear and took that of, oh man, the restock is happening right now, and it very well could be happening right now. But it's going to take a little bit of time, and I don't think that's necessarily a wrong thing. It just makes you wonder when it comes to these other schools that do already have stuff for today, that made the change for today, draws the questions of whose finger... Or who should we point the finger at on the blame side of things, if there is anything at all? And part of you wonders, yeah, should Auburn feel responsible of releasing this statement of there won't be anything Nike-related that you can buy as of right now? I don't think so, because they didn't say anything about it. If you hadn't been in the loop, you wouldn't have heard on June 27th that Auburn, by their social media accounts, was about to make the flip. It was fully on today, and now you can go full-fledged like you have with those videos. And it's so cool seeing just the little teases of some of the pull-up or the pullovers or the little hoodies on some of the players or the Nike football being snapped.
Yeah, I saw
people
that.
Assuming the Nike basketball going through the net, things like that, or the Nike batting gloves that you've seen. It's going to be a very, very big change. And you brought something up yesterday when we were talking with Clint Richardson. Again, I'd encourage everybody to go check out his page. Once again, he's doing everything either on social media, on X, which you can look him up, or auburnuniforms.com. He's keeping track of everything, of every single thread that happens, every single picture, every single drop, every single official Auburn account that posts anything about it. He's got that on his websites, or go back and listen to our podcast yesterday where he was able to talk a whole lot about it. But you brought something up where it was, I mean, it's the notebooks that school, the kids are going to be writing with in their journalism class at 8 a.m. It is the bathroom signs inside the men's and women's bathroom that have those logos that have to be changed. And so obviously by football time, you don't feel like there's going to be that, oh, there's the slip. There's the Under Armour logo.
Oh, it's going to happen.
And
it's bound to happen.
It is. But just saying it's going to take a little bit of time, and it will be funny to play that game for a little bit of, oh, they forgot one. There's still that old logo that's up in the old dormitories and whatever the case may be.
Right. And I mean, at that point, you're as crazy as it is and crazy as it may sound, you're talking about some serious legal issues there too,
sure,
which the common person doesn't really think about. But you can't let an athlete go out there and accidentally wear Steph Curry sneakers for basketball, they've got to switch to Nike, which, personally, I think would make a better basketball sneaker, but
sure.
You can't let him slip out there and wear his favorite pair of Steph Curry's. He's got to wear Kobe's or LeBron's or Giannis or Ja Morant's or whatever shoe that Nike wants to send Auburn's way, which we're going to talk about the apparel side and recruiting and things here in just a little bit, but you can't allow that to happen. Though that is something, I don't know whose job that is, other than the folks who work directly in apparel and game day operations, and we've seen so many things over the years about what it takes to get a team ready for a competition each and every week, but those are legal issues that you can't allow to have slip-ups on, and so that's what takes so long on this whole ordeal.
And it's funny that you bring that up, because I flash back to my freshman year playing college athletics, and that being such a big change of my high school was one of the few that were sponsored by Nike at the time. Now, obviously, that's grown into the high school world a whole lot more, but everything that we had was Nike. Then all of a sudden, you stepped foot on campus, and we had three or four meetings in the very first week that we were there. And it was, you're in our gear, you're in a non-competitor's gear, or you're not there. And that was truly the conversation. Yeah. That was our AD that sat down with us. It was every single one of the coaches saying, you will not step foot. You're allowed to if it is not athletic purposes, if you are walking to class, but it was even then. We're not going to take any sort of risk because our college had just signed a deal with Adidas, and it had totally changed everything. And it was, yeah, you're in Adidas, you're in our logo, you're in a non-competitor, or you are not there, even if it is walking to class, even if it's sitting in the lunchroom, because if any sort of picture gets posted,
yeah,
things can go south really fast.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's just the legal side of all of this. And that's what you have to remember. This is a money-making contract signing business. And you have to take everything seriously. It has to be done properly. And that's what Auburn and Nike are doing. Doesn't help the argument that, like you mentioned earlier, Rutgers is saying, here you go, go buy your stuff. Enjoy, Scarlet Knights fans. Like, maybe they don't make as much stuff as Auburn does. But either way, it is a cool moment.
Those 12 fans are rocking Nike right now.
I mean, they're looking really, really good, man.
Pullovers and hoodies up there.
It might be. I mean, they've already started storing away for the winter in New Jersey. But, yes, a really, really cool day for Auburn as they are now officially out of Under Armour and into Nike. And while it's cool for the fans and people who want to buy stuff online, it's also a game changer for the athletes as well. We started to mention it there. More on that coming up here. We're just underway here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
War Eagle, this is Coach Bruce Pearl, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
We continue on here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 as we talk Auburn's move to Nike. It is official today. Every athlete, every coach, every trainer over at Auburn Athletics will no longer wear the weirdly shaped UA. It will now be the Nike swoosh on everything that they wear, that they own, that they even think about wearing or owning. It will have the Nike swoosh on it. And there was a lot of uproar from fans today about not being able to buy a lot of stuff. And now that we know that July 25th is the day that everything will be available in stores, online. You can sign up through Auburn and their website and things about getting notified when everything goes live and all that type of stuff. And so I know today it was going to be really convenient. Today's payday for most people, so you could just waste your whole paycheck on it and not worry about it until the end of the month. And now you've got to save all your money throughout the month of July and hope that you still have some left over when July 25th rolls around. So,
or just hope for August 1st and just hope that there's still some stuff there.
I don't think I'd risk that.
No.
I don't think I would take that risk. But we wanted to talk about a little bit of a different angle with this. And it's a conversation we had very early on when this whole deal came about, right, for Auburn moving out of Under Armour and into Nike. And I think Daryl Dapridge was one of the first ones to bring this up. He may have done it on our show. And we were like, yeah, that's a really good point. You can use this if you're Auburn now as a recruiting tool for every sport in the athletics department, right? Because I listed off some of the names of the biggest schools that wear Nike: Ohio State, Alabama, LSU, Texas. Georgia. They all wear Nike. Some of the big schools wear Jordan brand right now, too. Michigan, Florida, UCLA, North Carolina, Oklahoma. All those teams wear Jordan. And it's no secret. There's a reason that, once again, as I will say, Nike is the number one sports apparel brand in the world. It's the top selling, it's the top wearing, it's the top performance producing. It is everything. It's the best, based off of every statistical value that you can find. And so Auburn can now use this in recruiting for all sports across the board, but the main ones being football, basketball, and baseball. I'll let you talk a little bit more, Christian, on the baseball side of things in terms of equipment, but my goodness, how many times have we heard that Auburn basketball is knocked in recruiting for some kids because of them being Under Armour, having to wear Under Armour shoes, using Under Armour basketballs, using Under Armour gear, compared to what Nike produces, which you take Steph Curry out of Under Armour, their basketball game doesn't even exist. And so this is a recruiting tool across the board that Auburn is hopefully going to be able to use to their advantage, if not, by the very least, catch back up to everybody else in terms of apparel.
Sure, yeah, and going back to what you were talking...
Oh, hold on, I'm sorry. Oregon? Forgot to mention them.
I thought they were the first one you mentioned.
I think they're a Nike school, right? Do they wear Nike out there in Eugene, or do they have a certain guy who is affiliated with their program or
school? I can't remember.
I can't either. Phil, maybe? Phil, no. Philip, no. Philip Day? Is that it?
Maybe.
Maybe.
It's close. But no, I thought that was the first one you mentioned. Otherwise, I would have called you out for it. But
I
remember when
we
first brought it up and we talked a lot about it, there were rumblings and talks of whether Auburn would be able to wear Jordan as well on the basketball side of things. And from everything that I've read based off of the AI overviews or a couple of the things on On3, it's basically they've stated that although Auburn is not a Jordan partnered school like some of those schools that you mentioned with Florida, Oklahoma, North Carolina, I don't even think North Carolina is fully into that. I think it's more of the basketball side of things. But Florida and Oklahoma being the big ones in the SEC, there's no conflict in wearing Jordan shoes, and especially because, again, they're under the Nike umbrella. And so that now opens up just that much more on the basketball side of things especially. But, man, yeah, it opens up so many doors for these recruits. And it sounds crazy to say, but you look at what Oregon did in the late 2000s, early 2010s, of when the whole apparel, when the whole look good, feel good, play good method kind of took over college athletics and just sports in general. I mean, when you're other than a national championship that hasn't gone up at all, you're looking at some of the talent that they were able to bring in. I mean, it was absolutely insane. It was, man, the top athletes, if you want to look good and you want to wear the best gear in the game, you're going to go play in Eugene. You're going to go play in Autzen Stadium because we're going to wear eggshells every other game. We're going to have this app that doesn't allow us to use the same uniform combination at all. If it does, it will decline it. We had a couple kids in my high school that went on visits and talked about that, of how
they will never wear the same combination
unless it is a specific branded, like the eggshells. They will wear those, but they'll change up the socks or change up the cleats, something like that. And so now everybody is trying to play catch up when it's come down to the apparel. And so many of these teams have made alternate jerseys. So many of these teams have loosened up on the elbow guards and the sweatbands and everything along the legs and everything that you see, but so many of that or so much of that has the Nike logo on it. And so it's going to just truly play such a big factor on the apparel, the look side. Again, that look good, feel good, play good, but then it actually comes down to the quality and everything that you've seen on the Nike football field, especially on the basketball court, where you've heard so many people talk about what you were just mentioning of, man, the Under Armour shoes just don't hold up. Things like that just don't feel good. And that's simply what could keep a recruit from coming to Auburn. Now, at worst, that doesn't put you at a disadvantage. It evens the playing field, levels everything like what you were talking about. If not, gives you that much more of a boost, because you can say you can be one of the first to get this, to wear this for our school. You can be one of the true premier faces of Nike when it comes to the SEC in Auburn, because there haven't been many athletes in pictures wearing Nike uniforms.
And I'll admit, there are, I totally understand, and I'm very certain that there are a lot of people that hear this type of conversation, or have been hearing these conversations go on for several weeks now,
yes,
who think that it's stupid, who think that it's dumb. And I get where you're coming from. But we're telling you all of this because to the athletes, it does mean something.
From a personal experience standpoint, I can speak on this a little bit more than most people can. And as much as you, as dumb as you may think that it is, I don't disagree with you. It really does make a difference. It makes a difference in recruiting pictures and in official visits and just overall gear when you dress up on a Saturday night or a Tuesday or a Saturday when you're about to go play a game.
Which is why so many people are making a big deal, including us, that Auburn will no longer wear Under Armour. That is retro. That is vintage now. And Auburn will represent Nike moving forward in every athletic event that they compete in. But we move on and take a break, because when we come back, we've got some exciting news for basketball and who Auburn will be playing this year in Las Vegas. We talk about that coming up next.
You are on the line with Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us as raindrops begin to fall yet again in Auburn. I promise they won't last long, just long enough to ruin the day, make it hot, make it miserable. Phone lines are open. If you would like to be a part of the show, be on the line, you can give us a call, 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. Or you can shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067, which several of you have, and we have gotten and received a couple of messages here over the last 10 minutes or so. And we are going to talk Auburn basketball, because we have some of their first opponents in the event that they're going to be playing in out in Las Vegas, the NIL tournament that they'll be competing in.
The Players Era tournament
coming up this season. So we have the first couple of opponents. Definitely want to dive into that a little bit. But these questions are all very similar, Christian, and ones that a lot of people have been asking to us on social media and things like that. I'll read both of them, and then we'll dive into this a hair, and maybe some more on the show tomorrow. But it says, one of the questions, again, this is the On the Line text box, 334-784-1067. It says, any serious talks of alternate uniforms for any sport? Okay, and then somebody else asked the question. They said in a separate text, are you guys implying that with the new change to Nike that we will see a variety in our football uniforms? He says the old alumni would have a fit. Personally, I'd love to see and have some variety. More orange would be good. Blue helmets? Heck yeah. But I don't see it happening with football. The other sports? Probably. And again, this is not an uncommon question. Thousands of people have been asking this over the last several days. Is there a chance that Auburn could have alternate uniforms look something different than what they traditionally do? And this question mainly gets asked on the football side, because that's the one that has little to no change. Same thing you see with Alabama, right? They don't make very many changes. And other schools kind of fall into that category. You've seen others begin to branch out. I think of the smoky grays that Tennessee wears that are really, really cool. Ohio State leaned into the all blacks, right? We've seen some teams do that over the years. But sure, that question for Auburn, moving to Nike, will we see any alternate uniforms? And I go back to what Clint Richardson told us yesterday of AuburnUniforms.com. He said, the brand that you wear, the brand that Auburn has been wearing, which for the nearly last 20 years has been Under Armour, that has not been their decision. That is not an Under Armour thing of them saying, no, we're not doing that. The people who have made the decision to not allow Auburn to make hardly any changes other than cute socks and face masks, the people who have made those decisions to or to not do that, are through Auburn.
Yeah.
And those people are still there. That's what Clint said yesterday. He said the people that have made those decisions or the ones who can make those decisions are through Auburn, and they are still there. Which means, for football, no, you probably won't see a whole lot of changes, at least right now, at least off the rip. I'm not saying and not willing to say that nothing is ever, never, ever, ever going to happen. But I think it will be a similar thing to what we've seen. Football will have minimal changes, if any. Other sports, though, I think that's where you could see some things start to branch out.
Yeah, don't get your hopes up that come kickoff on the Plains, Auburn's going to roll up in Navy uniforms and Navy pants. Because that's not...
Right, orange jersey, Navy helmet, right?
Sure.
It ain't happening right now.
Not going to be the case, and Clint Richardson really brought up a good point by saying that although there might not be that case right now, you might not see that right now, you feel like over these past couple of years, although it's very, very minimal, the different socks, the different sleeves, the different face masks have at least opened the door rather than it being a hard no, I'm not even going to let you in, I don't want your Girl Scout cookies. Now it's at least, okay, let me see what you have. Let me see what's in the wagon. Let me see what you're offering. Okay, I'm not going to buy all of those, but I'll buy this one little thing. I'll take this one little chunk and I'll follow through. Nike has the best creative team when it comes to apparel, when it comes to merchandise, arguably, in the world. In the sports world, they dominate it. And so being able to have that door cracked, they can be sitting there at the forefront, their face peeking in, saying, hey, whenever you're ready to come and talk to us, we're right here. Just take a look at this design. I'll slide it under the door and I'll walk away so that way you can look at it on your own time. And so just be ready when anything comes, and we'll be ready to have this conversation. But for right now, you don't feel like it's going to take a very big jump, at least not, again, as you mentioned, in the football world. In the basketball and baseball, they've been able to wear those different colors. You see basketball, the orange, the white, and the blue. That could very much be the case. On baseball, they've worn their different colors and have been willing to change things up a little bit. So a little bit more grace initially you feel like will take place on the baseball field and on the hardwood.
I think about like volleyball, which has been very traditional over time. I think about soccer, which has the, you know, traditional power blue and white diagonal,
yeah,
or the blue and orange stripe, you know, from the left or top shoulder to the opposite hip, right? You think about some of those jerseys that have been very traditional that you could see some fluctuation with. But yeah, to answer your question, for now, football, don't expect anything super crazy.
We will talk a little bit about it. We were planning on, we have a big rundown for today, but do plan on talking a lot about it, whether it's tomorrow or whether it's later on throughout the week. And that will be a very, very fun conversation that we encourage everybody to get involved in, is some things that you would want, some things that are on the desired list of next year or in the near future. And we'll take that by sport or just in general, and we'll rapid fire just some things that we would really like to see in this near future for Auburn.
Yeah, and I think we can also do a little bit too in comparison to some of the other Nike schools that have cool jerseys in,
sure,
football. Oregon, Tennessee, Ohio State, those teams that have done neat things, unique things. I mean, to give a sneak peek, I would pick one of my favorites are the purple jerseys that LSU wears. The purple jersey with the white helmet. I think that's so clean when they wear those down there in Baton Rouge. So
we're here to tell you that Auburn against Baylor is rocking the Cincinnati Bengals helmets, just the tiger stripes over the top in orange and blue. That's what we're here to tell you.
No, it ain't happening. But we will talk some more about that tomorrow. But yes, to answer those questions, my expectation is very minimal changes in football for right now. More on that tomorrow. But we do want to talk a little bit of basketball, because we learned, on top of what we've already known about Auburn's really tough non-conference basketball schedule, we now know the first couple of opponents that Auburn will be playing in their non-conference tournament that they'll be in out in Las Vegas, the NIL tournament, one that has swelled to, I believe, 18 teams now. Is that right? How many teams will be there? 18 in Las Vegas. And, Christian, we now know who Auburn will at least be playing to get started.
Yeah, and just going over these 2025, the men's teams once again. I mean, it is a late November Sweet 16 type of field. Going alphabetically, Alabama, Auburn, Baylor, Creighton, Gonzaga, Houston, Iowa State, Kansas, Michigan, Notre Dame, Oregon, Rutgers in Nike now, San Diego State, St. Joe's, St. John's, Syracuse, Tennessee, and UNLV. That is some of the best teams in college basketball. If not, you could say, I guess it's not the boldest statement to say, I don't think it'd be crazy to say that the national champion will be in this tournament, and the national champion might not even win it.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the most stacked tournaments we've ever seen in college basketball. Men and women will be involved in a tournament like this. 18 teams, each team playing three games, and the ultimate prize is a $1 million payout to the team, to their NIL collective, that wins the event. But get this. This article says that every school is already assured $1 million for participating. The straightforward incentive for participating, and then you get the incentive to win another $1 million if you win the whole tournament. So every team that's in this has already made $1 million for their players. You win it, you double it. That's how this thing rolls. And so, yeah, out of all those teams, I mean, dude, you're talking the biggest of the big, the best of the best, and several of those are from the SEC.
It says right now that St. John's, Houston, and Auburn lead the field battling for millions of NIL money. This is from CBS Sports. Matt Norlander, 5 hours ago, released this giant article talking about a majority of the matchups. And again, it's just absolutely crazy to see. They're marketing it now as November Mania. Instead of March Madness, it is November Mania. This is essentially the NBA, not the All-Star Tournament, but the play-in. What is the new NBA?
What is it, like the NBA Cup or something? I forget what they call it.
Oh, gosh, that's going to make me mad.
That's when
they do all of the alternate uniforms, the alternate jerseys, the alternate
floors. Yeah, it's called the NBA Cup.
Okay.
But, Emma writes, it had the sponsor to it. That's what it was.
But of course it's essentially now that for college basketball, but has a whole lot more at stake, right? With the money involved, it happens in the NBA now working its way into the college level. It's November 24th through November 26th, and the pot is north of $20 million in NIL-related earnings because of the teams getting that $1 million and then the winners taking home an additional $1 million. And right now, it is scheduled for Monday, November 24th. Auburn and Oregon will take place at 8 p.m. And then Tuesday evening, it'll be number 8 Michigan taking on the Auburn Tigers. A rematch of the Elite Eight, or the rematch of the Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
On Tuesday, November 25th.
I think you were thinking of the WNBA Commissioner's Cup.
Maybe sure.
That's what you were thinking. Yeah. But yes, regardless, really, really cool to see Auburn's first couple of matchups. Again, each team will have three games, right? This championship, it's not necessarily your traditional tournament style, right? But if you remember, Oregon won it last year at the end of November out in Las Vegas. You mentioned the fact that Auburn will now be playing a couple of games. I love them playing Michigan. I love that idea. I think that it's a really, really neat thing for Auburn to be playing big name teams like this. And the fact that this tournament is expected to grow even more, even larger over the years is something that's really, really neat.
Feel like there's going to be, it will not be long until the NCAA tries to get rights of it and tries to make it a 64-team type of field that works its way like a March Madness tournament, especially if the tournament expands like every arrow is pointing for it to in March. And don't get us started on that conversation. But, I mean, this could become one of the premier, if not, it already is the premier, but could be an NCAA-sanctioned event if they try and get rights of it. I mean, looking through this schedule, on Monday you have Tennessee playing Rutgers, you have Kansas playing Notre Dame, St. John's, the number one team in the country right now, scheduled to play Iowa State, Houston and Syracuse, Oregon and Auburn, Alabama and Gonzaga is the one that follows Oregon and Auburn. You have Michigan and San Diego State all on night one. Some of the other big-time matchups, I mean, as we continue to go, it should be an absolutely fascinating fascinating tournament right on Thanksgiving weekend. And so if you needed to add any more stress as an Auburn fan to trying to win some really big games, here's two more, possibly three more, that can make a really big deal.
Yeah, I mean, some of these that stand out to me, and we may talk about this when we come back from break, but you read through so many of those right there. I mean, it's just, this is awesome. College basketball needs more of this. We need more of this. I love the fact that you have some of these big name teams like Auburn outside of this tournament who try to schedule tough games, who try to schedule tough non-conference opponents, and clearly it works out. I mean, I saw a graphic that Florida put out their non-conference schedule today or yesterday, and they play a tough schedule in non-conplay. But guess what? That's what the great teams do. That's what teams who want to make a run in the tournament and a team that wants to get to the Final Four, they believe in testing themselves early. You can stack up all the wins you want against Eastern Tennessee Technical School of, math. You can do all that. You can play those teams and beat them by 40. Good for you. Or you can go and play Virginia and Marquette and whoever, right? You can go play Purdue and Arizona and all these Duke and all these teams. You can play them, get your losses, but learn where you need to be better, and it will make you better come February, March, and hopefully that first Saturday in April in the Final Four. And so with that, all of these games are good. All of these matchups are incredible. And the teams that we could see down the road in this tournament are really, really neat as well. We'll talk about those as we wrap up hour number one after this here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. We appreciate you being along with us. Have just a couple of minutes before we take our top of the hour break. We'll also get into the second hour. Tons to talk about in the second hour. We're going to talk a little baseball around Major League Baseball, that is, some of the updates from there. Also, we have some recruiting news for Auburn, kind of. It's not high school recruiting, but it is transfer portal recruiting. And the fact that Auburn picks up a transfer portal DB, one that is reuniting with DJ Durkin. So we'll talk about that coming up in hour number two. We'll also, in that second hour, we will talk a little bit about some Heisman odds and things about what's going on in the college football world. So all that coming up in the second hour. But we were talking about this Players Era tournament that Auburn basketball is going to be a part of. Christian, you read off some of the known matchups that we will have to kick this thing off. Tennessee and Rutgers, Kansas, Notre Dame, St. John's, Iowa State is awesome. That is incredible. That is a really, really fun matchup that we had talked about. Oregon, of course, now playing Auburn, Houston, and Syracuse. Alabama, Gonzaga, seems like those two teams play every single year at this point. Michigan, San Diego State could be good. And then on day two, as we mentioned, Auburn will be playing Michigan in a battle, a rematch of the Sweet 16, which will be really, really neat. Gonzaga playing Maryland, which could be sneaky good. Alabama, UNLV could be sneaky good.
Houston and Tennessee, first one to 40 points wins.
I mean, it'll be a dogfight in just a back alley, not even a cat fight. There's a lot more action than that. I mean, these are some great games, man. Just really, really good teams. And it says the championship game and the third place game will be played on Wednesday, November 26th. So this does go from Monday, November 24th, Tuesday, November 25th, and then Wednesday, November 26th, which is the week of Thanksgiving. So you get to watch Auburn basketball play in the biggest tournament of the year, and then you get to watch Auburn host the Iron Bowl. So that's pretty cool in all that week of Thanksgiving.
And so there's so much more that just goes into winning these games as well, because it talks about, again, this article on CBS Sports saying it's the teams that go 2-0 on Monday and Tuesday will pull their way into the championship round on Wednesday, mm-hmm. with only two game results to determine who gets to play for the championship. And it's inevitable for more than two teams of being 2-0 by the end of Tuesday, Point differential, total points scored, and points allowed will all affect the tally and will serve as the tiebreakers just like they did in 2024. And so not only is winning important, but you're not going to see a lot of these teams sub out their best players with 3 or 4 minutes remaining because you can't take that mindset of, hey, if we can still score 10 more points in that 4 minutes, that's a really big deal.
Yeah, and I get it. I don't love the fact that it's not a full-on traditional tournament of just win and move on and let's have a full bracket and let's see who survives till the end. But with it being an early non-conference tournament, I do understand not wanting to put the stress in the games and the...
Yeah, 4 games in 4 days.
Right,
like
I get that. I do. And that's what you see like in Maui and things like that. So I understand that. But to go back on the other side of the fence here... You're playing for $1 million. Like, let's show up and play. Let's see what you got here. It's unique. It's different. And I'm excited to really dive into it. I watched it last year, but I'm excited to really dive into it this year, of course, with big names like Auburn, Alabama from the SEC, and a ton of other teams in there as well. Is there a team that you want in a championship game that Auburn isn't already scheduled to play? Of course, Oregon and Michigan. Is there a team... not named Alabama.
I was about to say, why not give me Auburn, Alabama on Wednesday, November 26th, and then give me Auburn, Alabama a couple days after that on the football field.
This
Could
state
you
can't
imagine?
Handle it. This state would burn
oh,
down.
My goodness gracious.
Now, the question is, would you rather split? Here we go. Would you rather split if Auburn and Alabama play basketball?
I'd rather not play.
In the Players Era tournament, would you rather Auburn split by winning one of basketball or football, or take the risk of going 2-0 or 0-2?
What can I pick? Which one we
no.
split?
Nope, that's part of the risk. That's part of the game.
Holy cow! Give me both of them. Give
you,
me the risk. I'll
want,
coin flip.
You want 2-0 or 0-2?
Holy!
Nah, give me 1-1. Give me 1-1, and I'll take my bet on which one wins right now. Hour number one is in the book. Stick around. We got a whole lot more fun coming up in hour number two.
Is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well. As we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Across from me is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on this July 1st, 2025. And if you missed any of hour number one, you can go back and listen to the podcast version of the show. You can find that each and every day on our station website at ESPNAU.com. In that first hour, talked a lot about Auburn moving to Nike officially today, what it means from them going from Under Armour to Nike, what that means for you as a fan, what it means for the athletes, the coaches, everybody involved with athletics, and maybe a little bit of a deeper look and maybe a different look as well from a different perspective on how this could change things for the good for Auburn Athletics moving forward. So a lot of talk on that in the first hour. And then we learned today Auburn basketball's first two opponents in the Players Era Tournament. That is the NIL basketball tournament happening the week of Thanksgiving in November out in Las Vegas. We learned that the Tigers will be playing Oregon and Michigan with a possible third opponent in there as well. So talked all about that in hour number one. If you missed it, as I mentioned, go to our station website and check it out in the podcast center at ESPNAU. AuburnFU.com.
Here in hour number two, going to talk a little bit of baseball updates. No MLB Power Hour, but we like to have a little bit of time in there just to be able to talk a little bit on the Major League Baseball side of things. Also talking a little bit about an agreement that might be coming to a close between ESPN and Major League Baseball. As the deal ends in October, is ESPN going to continue running their baseball games on their sites or on their pages or on their sister companies, on the sister websites or the sister channels? A whole lot of articles or a whole lot of news along that article. Also, a little bit of Auburn football recruiting news that we're going to talk a little bit about before we flip over to a little bit of a conversation that hasn't necessarily been something that we've talked about a whole lot, but definitely want to throw it out there, as the odds have continued to change just a little bit, but it's the 2025 Heisman Trophy odds, and some of the names that you fully expect to be up there, some names that might surprise you a little bit, obviously a quarterback-dominated room, but a couple other guys in there on some or some other skill position guys that are making their way up the charts. Could we see an Auburn player make their way? What would they need to do? Who could it be that would make their way into getting national recognition? All of that coming up here in the second hour. But before we get into any content here in hour number two, we want to remind you that the second hour of our show here each and every day is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them for sponsoring the second hour of our show here each and every day on ESPN 106.7. I am Christian Griffin. He is Jacob Goins, and we appreciate you being with us. If it's been for the full hour, if you're just now tuning in, or if you're picking back up, man, it's been a great show so far for you. Today, as Jacob mentioned, a whole lot that we've been able to talk about in hour number one, and a little bit of baseball talk, because we have to sprinkle that in there just a little bit, along some updates on the standings, the recent games. And man, I feel like the best way to start is with your Red Sox. The Willier Abreu, an inside the parker and a grand slam last night, made a little bit of history. Did Abreu, didn't necessarily show off too much of the foot speed, but was able to make his way around the bases and made a little bit of history in the MLB.
Yeah, Fenway'd last night. That's what happened. He hit a ball that flew in and actually landed on a railing, I guess you would call it, the railing, the bottom part of the railing, and it bounced off and went the right fielder and the center fielder kind of came in on a
converging. They were both kind of waiting for it to bounce off the wall, and it bounced completely over both of their heads.
Yeah, bounced over them. Center fielder falls to the ground. Abreu, again, he is he's not the fastest, but he was able to get around because nobody was there to make a play after it took an awkward bounce. And yes, he did something, Christian Griffin, that has not happened in Major League Baseball since 1958. That's right. It's only happened six times in the history of the game, and he did it for the first time since 1958. You mentioned it. He hit an inside the park home run and a grand slam in the same game. No, it was not the same AB. It was two different at bats, and he did it. He hit, again, an inside-the-park homer. You feel like it normally takes something weird and awkward like this for an inside-the-parker to happen, or you see a team start throwing the ball all over the yard and miss cutoff men and or overthrow or underthrow, right, a first baseman, third baseman, a catcher, things like that.
Right, or it happens from, like, a line drive that the center fielder can't get to, and it goes all the way to the wall.
Exactly. And then you step up and hit a grand slam, which is pretty awesome as well. And so that was cool to see history made, the fact that the Red Sox put up a seven-piece in the first inning, did everything they could to let the Reds come back, but they did hold on. But cool to see history made in Major League Baseball. Let's get to the phone lines here in the second hour of the show, 334-321-1390. And Jones, you're on the line on this Tuesday. What's going on, my man?
What's going on, Jake? How you doing, brother?
Good. Good to hear from you.
Oh, I just wanted to give you guys a take, and I'll get off the phone and let you guys talk about it. I got Auburn going 10-2 with a loss to either Bama, Georgia, or Texas A&M. You got to tell me what you think about it.
Okay, appreciate that. Appreciate the call. We will talk about it. 10-2 for Auburn football this year, and he said losses to Alabama, Georgia, or Texas A&M, right?
Is so that going, yeah, going 1-3 in those three matchups.
Or going 1-2 in those three matchups. Sorry. Yeah, okay. I like it. It's a bold take, yes. It's a very optimistic take, yes. but one that absolutely could happen. I'm not going as far to say should yet, but absolutely could.
I like that word, though.
Happen. It's a commonly used one in our vocabulary nowadays. So Jones' prediction is 10-2 for Auburn with losses to a combination of Georgia, Alabama, and Texas A&M. And I don't think it's bad. I think predicting a loss, if I had to pick from those three games, just off of process of elimination and statistics and things, I would choose at least one of the guaranteed losses to be on the road at Texas A&M. Because I do think Auburn loses either at Oklahoma or at Texas A&M. But since he didn't include that game in his rotation there, I will pick one of those losses to be against Texas A&M. And then, just going off of current roster, situations, everything that could happen here, my second pick would be Georgia in that rotation. I know it's coming off a bye. It's going to be under the lights. It's going to be a chance for you to be 4-1 going into this game. In this scenario, you would be. But I think a realistic start for Auburn is 4-2. Get hot down the stretch and beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl to have a chance to make it to the college football playoff. And so in his prediction, in his take here, I don't think it's crazy. And I think it absolutely could happen.
What a wild thought it is, and it's something that we haven't really talked too much about because we've always been the mindset and have talked about it all offseason long of you got to find a way to beat one of your rivals. What if your two losses are your two rivals, but you win out from those two? What a weird concept that would be because it feels like you didn't get over the hump from your rivalry standpoint, but you got over the hump from your win totals, winning the games that you should win, taking care of a couple games that are kind of 50-50 toss-up games.
Would you be okay with that? Would you be okay with Auburn winning every other game this year except Georgia and Alabama, both of them at home inside Jordan-Hare Stadium? But let me remind you, that would mean going on the road to beat Baylor on a Friday night to open up the week, open up the season. You'd also go on the road and revenge your game against Oklahoma in Norman. You'd go on the road and win in Aggieland, which you've done fairly well in the history of that rivalry, and you would win all the games that you were supposed to win.
Yeah.
Would you be okay with Auburn winning every other game except Georgia and Alabama? We'll start there. You can't talk about postseason yet. We don't know what the postseason outlook is. We don't know if Auburn's in or out of the playoff. We don't know if Auburn's in Atlanta. We don't know any of that. But are you okay with Auburn going undefeated other than Georgia and Alabama in 2025?
That's such a crazy thought.
I don't think it happens, but would you be okay with it?
I don't either, but it's crazy that selfishly the first thought was, no, man, you got to beat one of them. That being said, if it shows that, again, you beat the teams that you should beat, a.k.a. the back half of your schedule, where you go through Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Missouri, Kentucky, that means you win those, whether it's handedly or not, week by week. You come out with a victory. That means, yeah, you go on the road and you take care of Oklahoma and Texas A&M. That means before that bye week, it would be absolutely incredible. So, yes, I would. I would take it because you said not to mention it, but that would come with the comma after I say yes, because that means if you're 10-2, means you're in the college football playoff.
I think so, yes. I think to add on that extra layer, yes, you would take it because Auburn would most likely be in the college football playoff. And I'll say this too, 10-2 with losses to Georgia and Alabama tells me that they were probably pretty competitive losses to Georgia and Alabama.
Yes, I was going to say the exact same thing.
And in year three, if you beat all the other teams on your schedule, I'm talking P4 here, Baylor, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Missouri, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt, which is not the most difficult schedule in the country. That tells me that year three is going exactly the way that it was supposed to go, and if the only two teams that you're still behind are Georgia and Alabama, you are moving in the right direction. You are on the trajectory that you are supposed to be in year three, and we've asked for 8 or 9 wins. We're saying this is 10 wins guaranteed. Yeah. As hurtful as it would be, as crappy as it would be for you to lose to Georgia and Alabama again, again in Jordan-Hare under the lights for Georgia, being 5-0 in this scenario, and that being your first loss of the season, and then building all the momentum back up after losing to Georgia, but ripping off, what is that, five straight wins,
yeah,
and
you'd be
losing to Alabama?
You'd go 5-0 twice.
Yeah, you'd go 5-0 twice and get beat by Georgia and Alabama. But big picture, there's no way you don't take that.
No. And again, it's the first selfish thought of, man, you have to find a way to beat one of those teams just because, again, that's your big rival. But it hurts a lot more beating those rivals, or when you don't beat those rivals, when you feel like nothing is on the table, right? Because that's how it's been the past couple of years of, man, we weren't able to pull a crazy upset off against Georgia, or we weren't able to do what we needed to do to get our sixth win against Alabama. It would hurt a whole lot less, as weird as that is to say, because it would be an unfamiliar situation of, man, we lose this game. However, we've already hit that 10-win mark. We've already realized that there's so much more left to play for. We realize that there is so much more than just this one game, and whether that means Atlanta, whether that would you feel like would guarantee a college football playoff spot. And if you're 10-2 and those are your two losses, that most likely means those two teams are in the college football playoff as well. That means you could host a first round in the college football playoff. Again, all of those would be the second fold of this conversation. But man, if you're telling me that Auburn can go on the road and win games that you feel like whether they should or shouldn't, they actually do, and then at home, you take care of business, and you get 2 5-game win streaks, and the two teams that you lose to are teams that are statistically supposed to be better than you, you feel like there could be worse ways to go about it.
Would you rather 10-2 without beating Georgia or Alabama, or 9-3 with beating one of them? 9-3 by beating either Georgia or Alabama, or 10-2, and those are your only two losses.
Based off of, again, there's so many second questions, the follow-up questions, of the second fold, the third fold of...
I have a backup.
If you're 9-3, if your losses come to A&M, to Georgia, and then even if it's Baylor, but then you win out, you're 9-3, then you beat Alabama, that shows that you're playing the best football at the best time, rather than it possibly being... you're playing for a college football playoff.
Sure.
And your rival Alabama is the one that essentially keeps you from that picture.
Sure. I mean, there's a ton of folds in there. It's like, yeah, you go 9-3, you beat Georgia, but you also lost to South Alabama and Vanderbilt. You know what I mean? I get all of that. Now, I'll ask you this. Or it's not even an ask. It's definitely a statement from me. I think 9-3 with a win over Georgia or Alabama is much more likely,
sure,
than 10-2. And not saying that Jones is wrong, because we don't know. And Jones, we appreciate the call. It sparked a fun conversation here before we get to break and get back to baseball. But I think 9-3 with a win over either Alabama or Georgia, I think that's the is that the expectation this year?
My thing was going to be, rather than 9-3, because that opens up so many more possibilities. Take 8-4. Same exact situation, but instead of 9-3, you're 8-4, but you beat one of your rivals.
You think that's more likely?
I'm not saying it's more likely. I think that makes it a little bit easier of that conversation of which would you rather have, from the standpoint of you go 10-2 and lose to both, or 8-4. 9-3, you feel like, is that weird middle ground of it seems like there's a lot more positives than negatives, rather than it being you take really good or, oh, man.
Yeah, I guess so, but I mean...
I think if you beat one of your rivals, the expectation should be 9-3.
That's fair. Yeah. Yeah. Because like we've talked about, I mean, between Baylor, Oklahoma, and Texas A&M, the hope is that you only lose one.
One you'll be favored in is the opener.
Yeah.
Baylor.
Yeah.
Where you're a point and a half.
A realistic hope is that you only lose one. I'm not... anybody that says, yeah, go 3-0. Just win all three. You're better than them. Go 3-0. Okay, that's a lot. Even if you are better than those teams, which you may or may not be, that's a tall ask right now on the 1st of July. Okay? A realistic hope is to say, okay, if you only lose one in those first three games, you're sitting pretty. You have a chance to be, what? You'd be 3-1? 4-1? What would that be?
That's what we talked about. Yeah, you'd be 4-1. If you go 2-1 in those three, because you'd beat South Alabama, Ball State, that puts you 4-1 for the bye week, and then Georgia.
What more could you ask for? With the schedule that Auburn has, compete against Georgia, build all your momentum, beat Alabama at the end, boom, there you go. There's 9-3.
And that throws into the conversation of exactly what Jones was asking of, you start 3-0, you then fall to A&M.
Oklahoma's before A&M, I believe.
Right. You start 3-0 and then fall to A&M, which was the question of Alabama.
That would be A&M, that'd be Georgia. 4-0. You'd start 4-0. Baylor, Ball State, South Alabama, Oklahoma. Then you'd
correct.
Fall to Texas.
Okay. 4-1 going into the bye.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had that conversation as well. Would you rather lose to Oklahoma then get a win before the bye week?
Yeah.
Or would you rather start
4-0
and then lose and then have to suffer the bye week hoping that Georgia or hoping you're prepared for
Georgia?
Because Georgia
plays. I think they play Kentucky at like 11 a.m. the week before they play Auburn. I think Georgia, if I remember correctly, I think Georgia hosts hosts Kentucky at 11 a.m. in Sanford Stadium.
Alabama the week before, then Kentucky before they come to the Plains.
Yeah, so very well could happen. There's a lot of ways this season could go, man. Or
I knew that was coming.
Yeah. Or Auburn just loses all their road games. They let Vanderbilt beat them for a third time. Diego Pavia goes 18-0 against the state of Alabama. Auburn gets blasted by Georgia and Alabama. You go 5-7, and you're looking for a new head coach next year. Ready, break. We'll take a break. Speaking
of
which,
that
would have been the worst throw to commercial ever in the history of sports talk.
We'll try
radio.
It again. You ready?
No. Jones, we appreciate the call, my man. It's been a lot of fun talking that. We'll take a break, come back, talk a little bit more baseball before we have some fun hypotheticals about Heisman odds for 2025 that's coming up here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Ready? Break.
War Eagle, this is Auburn baseball coach Butch Thompson, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins and Auburn Opelika sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
All right, we're back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate you being with us. We'll get back to baseball for just a little bit before we dive into some Heisman Trophy odds going into the 2025 season. We'll have some fun with that coming up in just a little bit. But we were getting into some baseball before Jones called in with a great prediction and sparked a lot of fun conversations that we will have several times between now and kickoff, which do you know how many days away we are from kickoff of Auburn University football?
I do. But tell the fans in case they don't know.
No. I hate to rob you of the pleasure
to tell
the fans. We're 59 days away from Auburn football beginning on August 29th of 2025.
Beautiful.
We are 59 days
I forgot
days
to flip
away.
My calendar. I still had 60.
Got you. You know, you just forgot Auburn played on Friday night. You were thinking 60 because that's how far away we are from August 30th on that Saturday.
You play Friday night too, right?
No, we're even closer than that for high school football. What is that? That's a week. So 59 minus 7, quick math, 52 days away from high school football kicking off. My goodness, that's not scary at all. Major League Baseball, right? back to baseball. Yay. We were talking about Abreu making history in Major League Baseball. He just so happens to play for the Red Sox. I mean, it's just funny how that worked out. But the Atlanta Braves are playing baseball. They're out there doing their thing, baby. Atlanta Braves are braving right now.
You are.
How would you describe it? In your best Lindsey Crosby term, how would you describe what the Braves
gosh.
Are doing?
You're used to the Braves doing this through April and May. It's just carried on a lot longer than that because usually this is about the time when it's, all right, the Braves are 13-2 in their last 15 games. All right, the Braves are 20-6 in the month of whatever. But instead, it's just kind of continued. They're a touchdown below 500 right now, ready to take on the Los Angeles Angels, a series that you feel like you hope to win, if not take all of them. The biggest news along the Braves right now is the fact that Ronald Acuña continues to jump up the All-Star voting, which is absolutely awesome to think about and to talk about. So many people that don't watch the Braves are like, why? He only played 20-something games. And it's like, yeah, well, you don't realize now in these 30 games that he's played, the production is absolutely absurd. And he will now be taking place in the Home Run Derby, which will take place in Truist Park. And so that will be a whole lot of fun. It's awesome being able to watch your hometown guys take place in a Home Run Derby in their home stadium.
Coming up next weekend, right? In Atlanta. I mean, all those – the All-Star break for MLB has – I mean, just snuck up on on me for sure, but I think kind of snuck up on everybody. The idea that all of that's going to be taking place in Atlanta, which is cool to see it back in Atlanta where it was supposed to be a couple of years ago, and now they are officially getting their All-Star festivities and All-Star weekend for Major League Baseball, which of all the All-Star events across Major League sports, it's still the coolest one. It's still the one that is actually enjoyable to watch. I think the Pro Bowl is stupid. I've always thought it was stupid for the NFL. The NBA All-Star game used to be awesome, and then they fixed it, and then they went back to being stupid. And then I like the NHL All-Star stuff. They used to, and still do, I think, they would do slap shot contest of how hard you can hit a slap shot in hockey, and I thought that was always really cool. But, I mean, baseball's got the best one. There's really no
yeah,
secret.
Just the home run derby and then the All-Star game where there's somebody mic'd up every half inning, and that's the one time when you feel like there's no complaints on the players being interviewed, and it's so funny hearing their stories or hearing the pitcher and catcher having their conversations during the entire sequence, during their inning of work. It really is really cool to be able to hear, and again, it's coming up really, really fast. But so was October, and real fast before we head to our break, there's been a lot of talks of ESPN and Major League Baseball in their 35-year broadcast partnership, as there's a lot of uncertainty for the future. October ends, obviously, the mark of baseball, but it could also mark the conclusion of Major League Baseball games being played on ESPN, ABC, ESPN+, and it's simply coming down to basically an agreement of what it's going to take for these broadcast networks to continue to run baseball games. It says right now, this was according to The Athletic, the network is backing away from the final three seasons of the $550 million contract it has with the MLB. The report adds that agreements gave ESPN the rights to Sunday Night Baseball, the Home Run Derby, and 8 to 12 postseason games, and no agreement means that the end of a 35-year run of MLB broadcasts on ESPN could be in the near future.
Well, we'll see how that goes. Speaking of the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game, we'll have full coverage of that for you right here on ESPN 106.7 and ESPNAU.com. That's coming up next week. We will have two games on Friday on the 4th of July. We'll have the Yankees and the Mets for the Subway Series beginning at 1:30, and then we'll have the Rangers and the Padres right after that to follow at 5 p.m., part of our 4th of July coverage without any shows here on ESPN 106.7. We've got 30 more minutes on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. When we come back, we're looking at Heisman odds, updated Heisman odds for 2025. Who's too high? Who's too low? And where could Auburn see some of their guys fall in New York? We'll talk about that coming up next here on ESPN.
Are on the line with Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We appreciate you being with us, and phone lines are open if you want to be a part of the show with something we're talking about or anything that's on your mind. We want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. The text box is always open as well at 334-784-1067. And something I wanted to kind of look into, Christian, as we are 60 days away from most teams starting college football, even sooner than that for Auburn, even sooner than that for week zero of the college football season, as the calendar has flipped to July, this idea that we play college football next month. We play high school football next month. Heck, Pee Wee gets started next month too, and we're excited for all of that getting going in the month of August. But it's the updated Heisman odds, according to multiple sports books and things around the country. You can use whichever ones that you would like, but looking at some of the live odds right now, just to read you some of the top odds at the moment, and then we have several ways that we want to go with this direction. We'd love to hear folks and your thoughts on who would you pick right now. If I gave you a $100 bill and I said, hey,
for fun,
you need, yeah, for entertainment purposes, of $100 bill Monopoly money, the $500 orange bill in Monopoly, right? I handed you that and said, hey, you need to place this on a Heisman favorite. Who are you placing it on, and why? Are you going with the best odds, the worst odds, better odds, a dark horse, a sleeper? Who is your pick right now on the 1st of July to win the Heisman Trophy in college football in 2025? Let us know your thoughts, 334-321-1390, by giving us a call or shoot us a quick name in the text box at 334-784-1067. I will read you, my goodness, I don't know, the first 15, 20 until I get tired of reading. And this is in order from best odds moving down to worst odds, okay? Arch Manning right now has the best odds, according to this specific sports book, to win the Heisman Trophy in 2025. Arch Manning at the top. Of course, quarterback for Texas. Garrett Nussmeier at LSU. Cade Klubnik, quarterback at Clemson. Jeremiah Smith is the first non-quarterback on this list, receiver at Ohio State. Drew Aller, the quarterback who returned at Penn State. A fascinating one here. Julian Sayin is on this list as well. How about DJ Lagway, the quarterback down at Florida, is on this list at plus 1,800. John Mateer, who was at the Manning Passing Academy this past week. Lenora Sellers is on this list, continuing to move down here. Dante Moore, Sam Levitt, Kevin Jennings, C.J. Carr. There's Carson Beck now at Miami. Austin Simmons is on here. Ryan Williams, receiver at Ohio State. Ty Simpson is on this list. We'll probably stop right there. That's a lot of names. But you move down the list just to kind of pick some out of here. Fernando Mendoza, the Cal transfer, who's playing at Indiana right now. There's Jackson Arnold at plus 6,000, who is the projected starter at Auburn. That is probably, without counting, I mean, probably 25th or 30th on this list in terms of Heisman odds on this list. Haynes King is in there. Nico out at UCLA. I mean, there's a ton of names in here.
The second for Auburn is Cam Coleman at plus 25,000.
That is hefty. That is hefty. And so that's where we will begin, is with Auburn. Jackson Arnold is the best, or has the best odds right now as an Auburn player to win the Heisman Trophy. And there are 25 or 30 guys ahead of him that bettors believe have a better chance to win the Heisman Trophy, to be in New York, and have a chance to take home the coveted piece of hardware. Do you think that's too low for Jackson Arnold, part one? And then part two, who else should have better odds? You mentioned Cam Coleman. Who else should be up there or at least be getting Heisman consideration if Auburn has any?
Looking at, first off, it's cool that Jackson Arnold and Sawyer Robertson are both at plus 6,000. They play each other on Friday night in Waco, which is pretty cool to think about. Just two guys that have the exact same odds. One could jump up astronomically after game one, and one could drop, or both could kind of work their way up, and it could be a higher scoring game. Looking at it, are you talking about from an Auburn perspective
mm-hmm.
first?
Yeah.
I don't think Jackson Arnold is surprising where he is. I think that name is much more of where he's placed, is much more of the where he has been and what you've seen at the college level, just because of the teams that he's been on. I think it's really hard to predict what you're going to see from him in a season. Obviously, Auburn fans are expecting a whole lot, and he's expecting a whole lot because of the offensive line, because of the receiver room, and because of just his natural gifted ability that you've seen work his way from the Gatorade High School Player of the Year to Oklahoma, and what he was able to do with a roster of walk-on kickers that were wearing number 84 and having to go out wide and try and catch 60-yard passes. I think he's okay. I don't think he would tell you, and I don't think we're sitting here up here tell you, that we think he should be a whole lot higher just based off of what we've seen so far. This could quickly be a name if Auburn does get to that point of whether you are 9-3 or you are 10-2. A lot of that is going to be because of his success. I think it was you that said it on Thursday or Friday last week when I was out, that said that Auburn will go as far as Jackson Arnold allows Auburn to go.
Yeah.
And that could be to the promised land. That could be to the college football playoff. That could be to being a finalist in New York. But it doesn't have to be for Auburn to have a whole lot of success. Just because of so much talent that's around him, his name would be scattered along a whole lot of it based off of the receiver talent and based off of the receiver's success and the running back's success. But somebody like him could be one of those kids that make a big-time jump when you look at it updated in week four or week five.
My counting skills are not great. I have dress shoes on, so I can't take them off to use my toes to help me here. But Jackson Arnold is somewhere in this Heisman odd list as the 19th or 20th quarterback ranked on here. We'll just say 20th quarterback in terms of Heisman odds. 19 quarterbacks in front of him have better betting odds.
I'm going to use my toes, so talk for a second.
Okay, yeah. On this sportsbook, again, I may have incorrectly counted, but somewhere in that category, they are predicting 18 to 20 quarterbacks who right now, on the 1st of July, have better betting odds to win the Heisman Trophy than Jackson Arnold. And to kind of what you were talking about, I mean, going into this year, what'd you get?
He is the 9th SEC quarterback in the odds.
Okay.
So right in the very middle.
In the middle of the SEC, and then I counted just on a whole of college football, where you were mentioning this, the idea that going into this year, I mean, the expectations just aren't there. That nobody's really expecting him to go in and light the world on fire and be that dude. But it doesn't mean it can't happen, right? It doesn't mean that Jackson Arnold can't make this a winning team and be one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC or one of the best quarterbacks in college football. But the angle that you've taken and the one that I've talked about and we've all kind of gone into is like, you don't need that. If you get it, awesome. If you get Heisman-level Jackson Arnold, the previous five-star, a guy that won games at Oklahoma without a receiver that could walk on 2 feet, I mean, if you can get that level of play here, Auburn's going to have a magical season. I don't see that happening, but you don't need that to happen. And so that's where the second part of my question comes in from the Auburn perspective before we zoom out of here is who else should be considered for Heisman odds? Or who do you think, if you had that $500 of Monopoly money that I gave you out of the board game, who would you put some money on if there's a long shot chance of somebody that could at least be in the conversation, have a chance to make a trip to New York to be representing Auburn for a Heisman Trophy ceremony?
I mean, I think the answer would be Cam Coleman. I think that's the obvious answer. I think that's the answer that the sports book is telling you if you are looking for an Auburn number two player. I think that there should be a whole lot of expectation for Cam Coleman to make a very big jump in year two, especially based off of what you saw in the final three or four games of last year's season, where it was, we're going to throw it to him 15 times a game, and he's going to make one-handed catches in the back of the end zone. He's going to have 80, 100, 120-yard games night in and night out, because that's what the expectation should be. You have a gazelle. You have one of the most talented players. Many have called him, and our buddy Jack Hutton has called it multiple times, he is the most athletic player, the best athlete he has seen in person, which is crazy to think about that it took, obviously worked with both parties, but it took him a while to get going with the freshman season. You feel now with a quarterback that has a lot of confidence and offense that should have a whole lot of firepower, where you can't double Cam Coleman. You can't double him. You can't double Eric Singleton Jr. You can't double Perry Thompson, because one of those guys is going to make you pay. Goes right back to the conversation of Jackson Arnold of how he might not be in that conversation. Cam Coleman might not be, because it's such spread out success, right? We've talked about that with Tahad Pettiford of how we said, oh, it very easily could be where Tahad Pettiford doesn't get National Player of the Year love when everything is all said and done, yet Auburn's a 3 seed in the tournament. Why? Because there's 3, 4, 5 guys that all have so much success, you don't rely on one guy to have all of it. And that's the same way that you feel like it works with this wide receiver room. That being said, you feel like your number one, your go-to guy out wide, where's number 8?
Well, and that's what I was going to say, too, is in comparison to what we saw a year ago, right, my prediction was that KLS was going to step in, be the go-to guy for 3 or 4 games, and then you would see the ultimate switch. You would see the flip or the switch come on, right? You would see the roles be changed to where Cam Coleman would emerge against a lesser opponent and then would become your go-to guy. I'm thinking that's what could happen this year with Eric Singleton Jr., who could be your go-to guy on a Friday night in Waco, but Cam Coleman's not a freshman anymore, so he very well just could be your go-to option right now, game one, pass one, play one. But you said it, there is enough talent to where if Cam Coleman is doubled or they run a certain set or he gets caught up or is, limping out of the gate, whatever the case may be, you have options to go to. Ohio State, they're going to have options to go to also, but Jeremiah Smith is so dang good that they'll just throw the football down there anyway because they know he's... Close your eyes and throw. Jeremiah Smith is down there somewhere. Same way with what we expect to see from somebody like a Ryan Williams at Ohio or at Alabama. I mean, bold prediction. I expect Ryan Williams to take a step back, but that's just me. I think for Cam Coleman to get serious Heisman consideration, he's going to have to really emerge from this wide receiver room. And I'll be completely honest with you. I don't know if that's the best thing for Auburn to win football games. If you have just one glaring choice to throw the ball to, I don't know if that's the best thing. And that's not a knock against Cam. That would be a knock against everyone around him on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, it would show you that your run game is not what it needs to be. It would show you that the offensive line isn't what it needs to be. And it would show you that a bunch of these receivers, highly talented, whether they were transfers or whether they were high school recruits that were expected to make that big year two jump or even the first year where you are expecting a little bit out of some of those guys. Yeah, it shows you that they didn't make that step, and you can easily throw that blanket safety over Cam Coleman, and it's, oh, well, he's doubled every single time, but I still have to throw it to him because he's the only one that you have any sort of trust in to go make a play on 3rd and 8. We don't think that's going to be the case whatsoever, but when you're seeing guys like Jeremiah Smith at plus 1,300, and then you see Ryan Williams down there at plus 4,000, you feel like there should be a little bit more love. And again, it did take a little bit for Cam Coleman to emerge last season. But man, just based off of potential, it's a shame that Auburn didn't use him well enough throughout the entire course of the season that he's not up there with those types of names to start this year.
Zach Calzada has Heisman odds on this list. Zach Calzada has Heisman odds on this list. Did you hear what I'm... Do you hear what I'm saying to you? That's incredible. That is unbelievable. There's Cam Coleman right there. I was looking to see, because wildly enough, you want to talk about a dark, dark, dark horse that could represent Auburn and New York for a Heisman Trophy ceremony?
I feel like your name, or I feel like you're going to say Keldrick Falk.
I am.
And I feel like that could very well be an answer. And that was my close second if I wasn't going to say Cam. I feel like
As hard as it is, man, for a defensive player.
I feel like he could almost get the Aaron Donald treatment.
Yeah.
Of, man, you're not going to hear his name a lot, and that's the biggest compliment to him.
Yeah.
Because he has doubled every single time to where you see that number two, that number three, or that outside linebacker get 8, 10, 12 tackles a game just because it's going to be... You will not make a tackle. Keldrick, you will not get into the backfield.
We will not let that monster beat us.
Right. Yeah. And it gets to the point of where the common fan that doesn't watch any Auburn football when it comes November is, well, I thought this guy was supposed to be good. Why is he still projected in the top 10 of the NFL draft? And it's like, oh, here, let me show you his game film of where he's getting chipped off the line by the tight end. He's then getting doubled by the tackle and the running back, all to make sure that the quarterback has 3 seconds to throw the football.
But crazy enough, he might just be good enough to where it not to matter. But I think you're onto something there. I mean, I think about all the videos and the pictures you see of Aaron Donald. Like, yeah, I mean, you've got two grown men with two handfuls on number 99, and he's still breaking through and becomes one of the sack leaders every year in the NFL. And so, yes, absolutely, could be something there. Heisman odds for guys in Auburn and others around the SEC. We'll hit on that one more time on the way out. We'll wrap up the Tuesday edition of the show after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Got a couple of minutes before we get out of here. We'll hand it off to The Drive. They'll have you for the next couple of hours. And just a reminder that tomorrow will be the final day for local shows here in Auburn Opelika, including the Max Roundtable, On the Line, and The Drive. Okay, we'll all have one more day of shows for you tomorrow, then we will all be off on Thursday and Friday for the 4th of July holiday.
It's the boo hotkey for everybody, except those around here.
I mean, hey, look, I understand you want to hear us on the boat on the 4th of July when you're out there on the lake. I get it. Just
invite us out there.
Pull up the podcast. Or, yeah, invite us out there. I like that idea much better. Yeah, that's a great idea.
We'll still
idea.
Talk everything that you would like us to
we'll,
talk about.
We'll do a whole two-hour show from your boat as long as you provide food and...
Sunscreen.
Yeah, sunscreen. That's what I like. Yes, but seriously, we will be back tomorrow. All shows live tomorrow, and then Thursday, Friday, everybody will be off. And so looking forward to a couple of days there. But tomorrow's show is going to be a lot of fun. Daryl Dapperich is confirmed. He is in Double D for Double D Wednesday. So we will talk to him about that tomorrow, looking for him about everything, Nike and the basketball stuff that we talked about today and a whole lot more there, plus some more fun conversations with just a bunch of stuff. And so if you missed any of today's show, though, be sure you go and check it out, ESPNAU.com in the podcast center. We talked about Auburn moving from under Armor to Nike, what that means across the board for the players, for the coaches, for the fans, everything you need to know about Auburn moving to Nike. Also, we learned the first couple of opponents for Auburn basketball in the Players Era Tournament that will be taking place in Las Vegas on the week of Thanksgiving for Auburn basketball. Talked a lot about that, plus some Major League Baseball updates, and just looked into some of the Heisman odds as well. Your pick from a non-SEC team. We'll throw a curveball at you, Christian, on the way out of here. A pick from a non-SEC team to win the Heisman Trophy and why, based off these betting odds we're looking at here.
Ooh.
From a non-SEC team, who would you pick and why? It's kind of hard. There's a lot of SEC guys.
I was about to say, you have to almost scroll it. I'm trying to pull it back up while I... The first thought, and I have no idea where he stands, but Dante Moore is somebody that stands out with Oregon.
Yeah.
I don't know where he sits. There we go. Finally loaded. Okay, he's right around 10th. Okay, that's not too bad. Not too bad. I don't think Drew Aller is going to be in the conversation. You could say Saiyan just because of the talent that Ohio State has around him every single year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I can't go with Klubnik just because you feel like that's not somebody that's overly surprising.
See, crazy enough, my pick would be Drew Aller.
Really?
Yeah. Because if Penn State's going to win a national title, they're going to need Heisman level play out of him. And if they're going to win a title, it's going to be this year. But they won't because James Franklin's still their head coach.
No, it's crazy. I know. I walked into your room the other day. You still have the big fat head of Drew Aller on your wall,
Big Nittany Lion logo.
Yeah. I mean,
I know.
It's crazy that you're picking your hometown quarterback to win the Heisman Trophy.
I definitely don't want them to win it all. No, they won't. As long as James Franklin's the coach at Penn State, they'll never win anything. So, okay, we're out of time. We'll continue that tomorrow or something tomorrow. I don't know. So come back 2-4 right here on ESPN. On ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.